The Lord be with you.
Good
morning and welcome to Grace Lutheran Church. Today is the second Sunday in Lent. We are happy that you are here with us this morning. Our order of service today is found on page 184 in your hymnal, Divine Service Setting Number 3. Feel free today to follow along with this side tab on your bulletin. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the third chapter.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered him, Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus said to him, How can these things be? Jesus answered him, Are you the teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and bear witness to what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
In the name of Jesus, amen. If I were to tell you this morning that you need to give more money to the church, we have a larger budget, we have a roof debt we're trying to pay off, we need more money, what would you say? Well, we've given already. We're on a really tight budget, Pastor. You don't understand. We see the thermometer in the narthex. Why are you bringing it up now that we need more money? If I were to tell you that Holy Scripture says to pray for your leaders, those who are in authority over you, to have respect for them, for they are God's servants, meant to serve and protect you. If I told you that you were to uphold and respect and pray for Governor Brown or President Trump, and our entire government at the state and federal level, what would you say? Don't answer that question. I'm sure you all have your opinions. If I were to tell you to stop holding grudges against each other, that you need to be forgiving of those people who have thoroughly wronged you and deeply hurt you, that you need to be less judgmental of those around you, that you need to stop your worrying and your doubts about what the future looks like. Quit doubting God. What would you say? It's very difficult, Pastor. You don't know what I am facing, or I just cannot find myself to forgive. Give me something, Pastor. Teach me how to do it. Maybe you should have a class on it. Maybe there's a book I can buy. This morning you heard a very familiar passage from John chapter 3 with Jesus and Nicodemus. Jesus meets with Nicodemus at night in order to teach him about the kingdom of God. And he says something very familiar. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus says to him, How can man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? There's a problem in Nicodemus's answer. Just like there are problems with our answers to the questions that I started with this morning. Pray more, give more, respect your leaders more, forgive more, judge less. And you may respond like me. How do I do this? I can't do this. Teach me how to do this. I literally think it is impossible. Nicodemus hears what he has to do, according to Jesus, be born again. And he responds, how can man do this? How can he be born when he is old? Wrong response to what Jesus says. Because of the nature of our sin and the nature that we have by turning everything in on ourselves, we end up being selfish. The same sin that caused Nicodemus to skew Jesus' words back onto himself happens with us as well. Instead of being selfless towards others, we can be selfish. Sin also causes us to look at ourselves for what we need and how we can accomplish things rather than God. It is a danger, even for the strongest and most experienced Christians, even pastors, to rely on ourselves and what we can do and try to accomplish in order to bring about the life of God in our lives or even our salvation. Our good works, our faithfulness, our dedication, our believing. Instead, we need to simply rely on God, His Word, His Spirit, and what He is accomplishing in and through you with His salvation, living out through you each day. And here we have again in this Lenten season, the Word of God helps us and sees us directly what we need to be about. We learn of ourselves, our weaknesses, our need, our spiritual inabilities. And we learn once again of Christ and His work for us, His work in us, His work through us, the work of salvation that He can only do. Nicodemus says to Jesus, you are a teacher from God, which is a very high, honorable thing to say. It's not a small thing for a Pharisee, a fellow teacher, to say this about Jesus. But he has no idea about what he is about to learn. Jesus says, be born again. And all of a sudden, the teacher who has come from God sounds like he's asking the impossible. That God would do such a thing is not even on Nicodemus's radar. Jesus must lead him down this road to see both himself and God rightly. And the same is true with us. For what sin has done is not only make us think less about God than we ought to, it has also made us think more about ourselves than we ought to. It constantly drives us in that direction. And so many folks go to church on Sunday expecting to hear what we have to do, what we have to accomplish, what we have to perform, what we have to give, all in order to somehow please God, all in order to maybe just inch our way into heaven a little bit more. You may not say that you think that, but we all do. It's because sin has warped our thinking, and not just a little bit. It has turned us 180 degrees from God onto ourselves. It's why our gradual says, in between some of these readings you hear on Sundays, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. That's the first words out of the writer from Hebrews. Instead of looking at ourselves, fix our eyes on Jesus. And so Nicodemus' story is good. It's a good one to hear right now. For there is a lot of wrong thinking in Nicodemus, just as there is in us. And so in order to reorientate Nicodemus' thinking, Jesus speaks of being born. Think about that. Being born again. How many of you played a role in your own birth? If your mother is here, don't answer that question. Being born is all the work of others. It's something that happens to you, which you receive. Your mothers gave birth to you. All that is asked of the baby when it is born is to breathe, to cry, to eat, to live the life that it has been given. And so it is with God. There is nothing we can do in order to be born again, in order to have the spiritual life. It is all the work of another. It is all the work of God by water and the Spirit. It is life given to you, the Christian life, not the life that you choose or decide. It is life received from God. It is not a life that you somehow try to achieve. Jesus says to us today, be born again. The strange teaching strikes our eardrums, just as it does for many within Christianity, that if we are born of God, there must be something we have to do. No, God must do it. If we are to have eternal life, God must give it. If we're going to rise from the dead, God must first come down and die himself and rise himself for us to do the same. So when it comes to our spiritual life, living out our life as Christians, we really have nothing to do with it. It is all God in and through us. The response to all of this is the fact that we are here today, even with a wretched time change in our midst. The Spirit is the one who got you up out of bed and drove you here today. And it is the Spirit of God who speaks and sings your responses to all of the wondrous things that he has done for you. For Jesus is not just a teacher who is sent from God, teaching us what we must do, teaching us how to be good little obedient Christians, or even trying to show you what kind of potential you have. He is the Son of God who has come down to save us from our sins, to die our death so that we may live. Remember last week when I said that Lent isn't really all about the giving up of stuff, the fasting and the penitential stuff? That's really part of it, but that's kind of on the back burner for the whole history of it all. Lent again, as I said last week, and you have it right in your lap today again, is really all about baptism. The Son of God come down from heaven for you, and by water and the Spirit of holy baptism, you are born again, born above as children of God. All God's doing, the one who came to die and rise for you, all his doing is laid in your lap this morning and reminding you as you walk by that font that he has done all of the work for you. All so that we would not doubt, but rejoice in the gift of life that he gives for you and the life that he now lives out in and through you. It's all right there in the font. And now what is asked of you and me is simply to live in his forgiveness, to live out as he would live in you, to breathe the word of God, to cry out in prayer, to give freely of yourselves when and where God pleases, to uphold our leaders and all in authority over us, to forgive one another as you have been forgiven, and to judge less or not at all according to God's standards. And it is God who will provide these things and even more for you. His very body and blood this morning are given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins and the strengthening of your faith that as you go out in Christian love today that you receive, your faith is strengthened in him and in fervent love toward one another as we will pray in a few moments. That means today that God is still giving you all of these things, giving you himself, living himself through you, never to ask you today, what are you going to do about all of this? Never to leave us asking the question, what must I do, or how can I do this, or there's no way I can do this. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Confess your pride in yourself. Confess what you think you have in your power. Confess your sin, your selfishness, your wrong, and fix your eyes on Jesus. As St. Paul said, boast only in him. For where your boast shows, there is your faith as well. And so we learn of the faith this morning, and it could be summarized very simply in the wonderful gospel in a nutshell. The gift is given to you today. The gift is received by you today. The gift is confessed and lived. For God so loved the world that he gave. That's the gift given to you. His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him, that is the gift received, should not perish but have eternal life. That is the gift confessed and live. Whether it's Abraham, Paul, Nicodemus, or you sitting in this church today, it is the same gift and life of our God here for you, given for you. And by clinging to him in your baptism, you need not fear. Your salvation is assured, for baptism now saves you. And you now have the opportunity, and you have the honor to go. You have been born from above in baptism. You have been given new life in the forgiveness of all of your sins. Live this new life, this holy life, even when it seems next to impossible. For it is not you. It is Christ who lives in you. To Christ alone be all the glory, now and forever. Amen. Freely you have received, freely let us bring our gifts to the Lord.